Hello and welcome to our Student Support Podcast. Here we speak to tutors, experts and students from around the world. They'll be sharing their advice and experience to help you on your ACCA journey and achieve your exam goals.
Welcome to this ACCA podcast. Today we are speaking to ACCA affiliate Ashwini Raj and we're going to explore her journey through the qualification. Hello Ashwini, and to get us started, can you tell me a little bit about your current job?
Hi Paul, nice to meet you again today. Well, my current job, I'm basically the program leader taking care of the student affairs division here in the Professional Accountancy Centre in UOW Malaysia KDU. Yeah, so basically just to make it simple and summarize what I do is basically I just make sure that there is an effective and conducive environment and structure for the students to actually pursue their CAT and ACCA program. So basically just making sure that they are in the correct place, doing the right thing, and making sure that they pass the exams.
Oh, that sounds really interesting, Ashwini, especially that you're now helping students after you've recently finished your student journey.
Yes, and actually I'm also lecturing. So yeah, going back to that point where, you know, helping students definitely comes in play when, you know, I can actually share from my experience of failing papers and what you should do to actually make it through the exams.
Okay, hold that thought. There's two things you said and we'll talk about later. One, that you're doing a little bit of lecturing now, but as well, that you failed one paper or more than one paper. We'll come back to that. First of all, can you just tell me why you chose to study ACCA?
Right, back in secondary, actually, I don't know if it's going to be a surprise, but I wasn't an art stream student. I was actually a science stream student. So the first option when, you know, someone actually asks me, so what do you think you're going to do or where do you see yourself? I always thought that I was going to be an engineer when I was young. But, you know, growing up, I guess, in an Asian family and my mom being protective, she was like, no, engineering is a little dangerous for a girl to do. So then I went to my second option, which was accounting. And back in secondary, I also took an additional subject, which was an option back then because, you know, science stream student. So I took accounting and I kind of liked it. Okay, probably because I did well in the paper. So then I just went on to do CAT and then ACCA.
So it was a natural progression. And okay, so let's go into a bit more detail about your journey to qualification. First of all, let's start with something really nice. So which exam was your favourite or which subject was your favourite?
Okay, my favourite would definitely be corporate reporting, mainly because it took me multiple times attempting the paper before I actually finally passed the paper. So I think naturally, as I was, you know, in between studying and failing and then retaking the paper, I think I genuinely just built an interest in the paper. So even until now, whenever there's updates or articles, even videos or podcasts, something like this, I would just naturally just be very curious about it and, you know, would like to watch or, you know, read about it. So yeah, definitely corporate reporting.
So that was the old P2, which is now SBR.
Yes.
Was that the first paper that you actually failed in your route to qualifying?
One of the very first few papers that I failed, yes.
Okay. And how did you feel, you know, when you'd obviously made some good progress through the initial qualification through CAT and then you went through the applied skills level?
Yep.
And then you got to strategic professional and that's where you tripped up for the first time. Can you remember how you felt or can you explain how you may have felt when you got that first news?
Okay, I don't think I'm going to sugarcoat it in any way. I don't think anybody likes failing at all. So it was horrible. I felt like an absolute failure. I felt like my whole world was like turned upside down because up to that point, I've had never failed any papers before. I mean, from kindergarten up to then, I've never failed papers. I didn't really perform very, very well, I would say, but I've never failed any papers. So I was in a place where I was like, okay, should I continue doing this? Should I stop? Or I didn't know what to do. And especially, I think I have strict parents. So me thinking of how would I even, you know, eventually go and tell my parents that I failed my paper after everything that they've put in for me to actually pursue my higher education. And then I'm going to go back home and tell them that, hey, mom, hey, dad, I failed. So it was horrible.
The great news is you got through that and you're through the qualification as a whole.
Thankfully.
Have you any advice or any thoughts about how you picked yourself up and how did you get going again and how did you get motivated to pick up the qualification again and keep on going?
Well, okay. Basically for me, I think I am very, I don't know how to put it. I need someone or something to actually motivate me. So I'm so glad I'm surrounded by friends and of course my sister, who've also did ACCA before. So, and she's failed papers before, so she kind of understands it. So actually the first few people that I spoke to was my sister when I first failed my papers, because I was like, I didn't know how to tell my parents, so, but I had to tell someone. So I told my sister about it. Yeah, and then I'm just glad that I was surrounded by friends who were like, you know what, this is not the end. You can retake the paper. It's not like once you fail, you have no chance of repeating the paper and you just flunk out. No, you actually can repeat the papers as many times necessary until you've, you know, finally got the qualification. So then I, you know, sort of like, okay, yeah, I can give this another shot. And then the next thing was, I didn't have anything else to fall back on. It was either complete ACCA or complete ACCA. So I didn't do a degree or anything like that. I decided to do ACCA straight and get my professional qualification. So failing midway through, technically I don't have anything to fall back on. So I had to make sure I completed the program, you know, so that I can actually have a title to my name. So that was it, yeah.
It's interesting what you said, where you said you spoke to your sister first, and I'm sure that I would do the same in that situation. But actually having someone to speak to who can relate to what you're doing and what you're going through. So someone who has not just done the qualification, but also had their own challenges, and who can give you that motivation that, you know, the reality is a lot of people, the majority of students, will struggle with one or more papers to get through the ACCA qualification. And actually, it's those challenges which can really help us. And you know, I've told others on previous podcasts that I failed two exams on my route to qualification, and I ended up teaching one of the subjects I failed, because I think I learned so much by failing about why I failed, and I wanted to try and pass that on to other students. So yeah, absolutely, that taking that failure, you know, understanding that it's going to really hurt us, but then coming back stronger.
That's right. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Yes.
Super. Now, I think you started off as a full-time student, but then did you have to work as well as doing the qualification in the later papers?
Yes. When I first started CAT and the initial stage of ACCA up to what is known now as the applied skills level, I was a full-time student. But midway through, I don't come from a very well-to-do background. So financially, I wasn't so stable, man. So I decided to go and work and support my studies. After applied skills, or back then it was F9, so I studied until F9 as a full-time student, and then did my P-level papers part-time.
I see. And do you have any advice that you could give to students that could help them cope with that study, work, family life balance? How did you make it work for you?
Okay, this is a tough question to answer, because I think until now I don't really have a solution or an actual answer to that. But I think based on experience, what I would say is you just have to know your priorities, and because time is a constraint here, work is a thing, and then you have your studies as well, but you're not going to go all day round just work and study. You need to also find a little balance of entertainment and things like that. So you've got to really plan out where you're going to or what you're doing in a day. So basically, yeah, know your priorities and always surround yourself with positivity, because it's going to be challenging. You're going to be working, and after work, you're going to be tired. So you're going to have to find something that's going to push you to actually want to open up your books and study, rather than, you know, okay, let's watch a video on YouTube today, or let's watch a movie right now and just chill. So finding that motivation to actually study while working is going to be challenging, but you can do it if you put your mind to it.
If you put your mind to it and if you plan. Now, everybody will plan probably in different ways.
Yes.
Some people will probably plan far more than others and have charts on the wall or on their phone.
Yeah.
Whereas others, I found I simply had to make time or try and make time in my day where I was going to study, but I couldn't be too prescriptive about exactly what I was going to do.
Yeah.
But making that time, planning, and I always like to have a little reward as well for if I did my study, if I've completed it, and it didn't have to be much. It literally, for me, it could be a some crisps or a biscuit or something, just something I could look forward to and think, right, I deserve it now.
You know what? When you mentioned this, it's a little throwback when I was actually studying, and I remember that because I love chocolate. I love chocolate. So every time I finished like a chapter or something, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to finish this because I want to have that piece of chocolate or that bar of chocolate. So yeah, something simple, just, you know, keep you going and motivate you. Yeah.
It doesn't need much, does it? Just something. Just yes. Something. Okay, that's really, really useful. It really is. Okay, I know that you had your major challenges when you were studying for those later papers, so the options papers, and as you said, it was P1, P2, P3 when you did these exams.
Mm-hmm.
Did you study with a learning provider always, or did you try and self-study for some of the exams?
Okay, I basically had a mixture of everything. Some papers, I went to an actual classroom with an approved learning provider. Some papers, I self-studied. Basically, in a way, I wanted to save cost. So self-studying would just require me to buy the books. Approved learning content, of course, but yeah, that would be a little cheaper than, you know, going for an approved learning provider. But of course, there are differences. So if you actually sign up for a learning provider, you have someone guiding you. And in a way, it makes things a little easier because you have someone telling you what you should do, the focus areas are, what you should not do in an exam. When you're self-studying, in a way, you've got to put in that extra effort to figure those out on your own. I'm not saying it's not going to work, because in some papers it did work for me, but it's easier if you have someone teaching you.
Yes.
And you've had to put in a little bit more effort if you're self-studying.
I think that's a very fair answer and a very well thought through answer. It's obvious, isn't it? If you don't have that person to guide you, then you will have to either find out yourself how to guide yourself through that paper. I mean, there are a lot of resources online now, certainly on the ACCA website, that you could look to utilise as well. So but it takes that little bit of extra time, effort, and maybe planning to make sure that you're going to be exam ready on exam day.
Yes.
Did you ever try online learning? And if not, do you think it's something, if you were still doing your exams today, do you think it's something you'd try?
Actually, I did online learning for one of my papers, which was, I think it was P3. Business analysis at that time. I think now it's replaced with SBL, structure-based
CEDAR. Yes, that's right.
I think there are many different types of online learning.
Absolutely.
So the one that I signed up for was pre-recorded videos. So I've had all the videos made available to me upon registration, and then I'd have to plan out on my own when I would watch them and how I was going to complete the entire syllabus. So what I find a little challenging would be just to find that motivation to get through the videos, because it's non-interactive. Pre-recorded videos, because it's, you know, it's pre-recorded, just like the name, you don't have someone technically talking to you. It's just, you know, you just watch and you learn the content and then you've got to do your homework. So yeah, that part of it was a little challenging, where you need to find the motivation to actually just, you know, go through and try to complete the papers, complete the videos.
That's interesting. You've almost described your self-study where you had approved content. You've been in the classroom where you've been guided by a tutor. And then you've almost got that halfway point where you've been able to access pre-recorded videos. And, you know, maybe the major planning comes when you're doing that self-study. It's a little bit easier because you've got guidance with pre-recorded videos. But the best way, or the perhaps easiest way in terms of motivation and the level of planning you need to do, is when you were in a classroom.
In a classroom, yeah. I don't know. Would you agree? What do you think?
I think there's been a lot of progress in recent years in online courses. And the online courses that I produced were blended, so they had pre-recorded and they also had some live elements. So I think online courses are really getting to a stage where the quality is really good. But I strongly advise every person to try and work out what works for them. So online learning is and can be fantastic with the flexibility. But some people will always like, if you've got a tried and tested way of going to a classroom for your teaching, maybe that's the route, especially if you're close to finishing the qualification, maybe that is the route to stick to. So work out what's best for you. I mean, the good news is there's so many more options, isn't there?
Yes, there's definitely so many options. And I absolutely agree. Yes. What works for me wouldn't necessarily work for you. So you've really got to find what works for you the best.
Yes.
and see, because different people have different personalities.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting towards the end. One final question from a student and an experienced perspective.
Okay.
If you think about our current students, can you think of maybe one, two, absolute maximum of three key things that students should do to get ready for exam success?
Well, the first thing I think, use Study Smart. Not hard. Use whatever resources there is, because the one thing which I kind of regretted was that I didn't really utilize the ACCA resources as much as I should have. I think if I did start from the beginning, it would have made my journey or my failing a little less painful, because I think I would have found the right technique from reading or using those resources. The one resource that I think really helped me the most was the ACC examiner's report. I'm not saying that you read it after you fail the exam, but read it before going to the exam, because this is where you actually learn what other candidates have done wrong. And so you have to make sure that you don't repeat this, because this is what the examiner doesn't want you to do. Use this as a guide on how to actually tackle the questions and answer the questions. If at any point of time you're looking at resources online, that's fine. But I would always say go back to ACC approved learning content.
Fantastic. I love the idea of study smart. And, I particularly like the idea of studying smart, not too hard, making the best use of the time you've got. And again, I echo that. If you're not using the ACCA student study resources, get on the website now. Have a look what there is for every paper in the qualification. There are practice tests. There are specimen papers. There's the ACCA practice platform. There's examiner's reports, as you say. And again, I love that idea. Yes, you can look at an examiner's report if you fail a subject, but it really can be a little bit downhearted just to see what other people have or many candidates failed with. Using it as a study resource to get ready for your exam, I think will get you ready for exam success. I think that's a fantastic idea. I've just got one more question, and we always ask a question at the end of the podcast just to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
Today, I'd just like to know what your favourite place is.
That's an easy question. Home.
Lovely.
There's no place like home. I just love being home, where, you know, surrounded by family, surrounded by people who care about me, you know, and basically when I'm at home, I don't know if it's an Asian thing, but you know, when you're at home, basically your parents just take care of everything, so I don't have to do much. Yeah, so when I go home, then I'd be like, I'd be treated like a princess.
That is lovely, and it's a lovely way to end our chat today, Ashwini. I thank you so much for your time and your thoughts.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Goodbye, and I hope to see you soon.
You can listen to more ACCA podcasts covering exams, recruitment advice, and becoming an ACCA professional, and much, much more, wherever you found this podcast.